Let me tell you, first of all, about the problem with lipoic acid in humans. Is if you do intravenous lipoic acid, it's extraordinarily effective for reducing inflammation and protecting the tissues and restoring the antioxidant status in tissues, which is extraordinarily difficult to do in humans. But nobody does intravenous, okay? There's one guy in the U.S. that does it. He's licensed to do it, but hardly anybody knows about him. But what I think is the problem with lipoic acid that you buy at healthy stores is that when you take it orally, it gets gobbled up by your liver very rapidly. So what we call that is it has a very short half-life in plasma. And we're now convinced, because we've done a lot of work with lipoic acid, I've literally spent millions of dollars developing a special form of lipoic acid to get past the liver and up into the plasma and into the tissues for a sustained period of time to increase a molecule known as glutathione, which is extraordinarily difficult to elevate in humans. And everything you buy at health food stores, doesn't solve that problem. Even these so-called timed-release lipoic acids, they're not using the real drug delivery technology that pharmaceutical companies use because it's far too expensive for a vitamin company to develop. I mean, I did it because I sold the AS, and as I mentioned, I had a lot of money to do this. And we have found out that this, tablet that I developed, which now has two patents on it, was it's probably the most powerful antioxidant commercially available today, but I have taken the product off the U.S. market because we're filing with the FDA to get it approved as a prescription drug for the treatment of diabetes, and which is really exciting for me because this could be a nice contribution to the treatment of diabetes because it's a whole new class of drugs for diabetes because all the current anti-diabetic medication today does not treat inflammation or oxidative stress, and this compound does. And when you reduce inflammation or oxidative stress in tissues in people with diabetes, what happens is you actually improve a thing called cell signaling, which improves the communication between insulin binding and cellular reactions, which improves glucose uptake, which reduces glucose levels. And we're virtually convinced today that it probably will interfere with diabetic complications such as neuropathy and hopefully, we hope, cardiovascular disease. So it was it was interesting. In 1996, I went after it for aging, and the thing ended up working for people with diabetes very effectively. So, didn't get what I wanted, but I got close.
Is this the product that you call Glucotize?
Yes, yeah.
And you've completed a couple of studies at your institute. What were the results of these studies?
We were the first people in the world to show that an actual controlled release alpha lipoic acid was able to reduce a 21-day blood marker known as fructosamine in diabetics. It actually lowered that. It's like A1C levels, except it drops down in 21 days versus 90 days. But we're the first people to show that in the world. And that's what I received my patents for, and also my sustained release and my formulations and all that. So, what's funny is here in the U.S., I actually picked up the attention of two major pharmaceutical companies and also some major diabetic endocrinologists, world-renowned experts. So I have some really big players on my board of directors now for this particular technology. And it's incredible. When I sit down and think about, how I just started out looking at the animal research in 96 and then, developed this thing. So we're really excited about this could be, in pharmacies probably within 4 years. That would be incredible if it was.
Now, I see the application for a diabetic. What about a well person, an athlete? Is there an application for Glucotize?
Absolutely. Yeah, because, you see, I really think that the antioxidants that you purchase today, I personally think that they're very limited. I am convinced, and I know this is biased. People listening to this tape are going to say, well, of course he's going to say this because he invented it. But, I'm pretty open-minded, and I'm critical of my work, and I really believe that this controlled-release alpha-lipoic acid, it does things that no other antioxidant is capable of doing. It increases glutathione levels, which I mentioned earlier, which is very difficult to do in humans. It increases the level of the other antioxidant. It kind of goes into the tissues, and it regenerates vitamin E and vitamin C and CoQ10. And then it also goes directly into the mitochondrial compartment, and it literally reduces the free radicals as they're being produced. So you will take a person in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and they will feel better usually within about 2 weeks. And this, again, is anecdotal, but this is what we've noticed, because we did have the product here in the U.S. on the market for approximately, I'd say, 40 months. And we've talked to hundreds of people, and there's no question about it. I mean, the product was definitely having a physiological effect. As a matter of fact, Clint Eastwood used to use this product, you know, and he called me, I think, several years ago, and he said it's the first antioxidant he's ever taken where he actually feels, you know, better. He said his mind seems to have cleared up. Now, again, that's anecdotal, but what goes on with humans in regards to aging is they usually have a heart attack or a stroke, and those particular tissues, heart and brain, are post-mitotic tissues. They don't replicate. So when there's damage, the damage really doesn't go away. It just accumulates over years and years and years. And this particular antioxidant is extraordinarily effective, and this has now been proven in animals, to protect the heart and the brain. And that's big news to anybody.
Very, very big news. Now, yep. How much lipoic acid do you recommend for an athlete?
Well, what we found out, the dosing was a little bit difficult at first, because we weren't quite sure. Because remember, nobody has ever given a controlled release or sustained release alpha lipoic acid in humans before. We were the first people to do a clinical study. And in diabetics, I can tell you that we actually underdosed them at 900 milligrams a day. And as soon as we bumped the dose up to 1,200 milligrams a day, we saw their blood levels in regards to glucose drop down. So we think now today the effective dose for people with diabetes is somewhere between 1.2 and 1.8 grams per day. Now, for normal people that don't have diabetes, we think a minimum of 600 is where you will probably start to see some effects for increasing glutathione levels and possibly interfering with oxidative stress in the mitochondria. And I would venture to say that it's somewhere between 9 and 1,200 milligrams per day. I think a man would use about 1,200. I think a woman would use 900 milligrams.
Would you take that in one single dose or split it up?
Well, yeah, we usually try to have people dose BID probably twice a day, you know, like first thing in the morning, and then take a second dose, we would say mid-afternoon. And now with my tablets, based on my pharmacokinetic study, which is the analysis of blood levels of the active molecule in humans, and we funded this study ourselves, my tablets were in the blood for about 4.5 hours. The stuff you buy currently today at the health food stores, it's in the blood for about 90 minutes, and it clears out. So we had a substantial improvement in the time in plasma. So we were having people dose, you know, twice a day, and they were getting, you know, lipoic acid sustained levels for about 8 hours a day. And I think this is what it takes. It takes hours and hours and hours in the plasma of this molecule to influence and upregulate the levels of glutathione in the tissues. So, you know, unfortunately, this product's not available, so...
Okay. Well, I'm sure everyone's interested in your connection with EAS and creatine monohydrate.
Sure.
What sparked your original interest in creatine?
Well, you know, back in those days, 1992, you know, what was going on back then, all of these companies, and you have to understand, these companies really don't do research and development. It's crazy. But they do generate a lot of money. And back in those days, everybody... all these companies were promoting these real heavy weight gain products. You know, like if you want to get muscular, drink down our 2,000, 3,000 calorie drink, right? And we were sitting there off to the sidelines, and we thought, well, this is not how you really put on muscle. And, you know, we came across this published study in Clinical Science, September 1992, where they administered creatine monohydrate in Europe. Actually, I think it was England. And they showed that the creatine was absorbed orally, that's a good plus, and it was taken up into the tissues. So we thought that creatine may have a benefit for bodybuilders in particular. And we ordered the raw material from a company here in America known as Fansteel. And we actually underdosed everybody. We had about seven friends. And this is a real funny story. For the first couple of weeks, we were very, you know, cautious about dosing everybody. So we were giving everybody 5 grams a day, and we didn't see much of an effect. So intuitively, we decided to up the dose, which we did, to about 20 grams a day in divided dosages. And it was like somebody just hit a switch. Within a week, everybody got stronger. Everybody started gaining weight, getting more muscular. And, you know, we were actually taken back by this, and we were pretty excited about it. And then what I did was I thought, okay, this is great. You know, we can sell this now to, you know, a couple of major companies that are doing bodybuilding supplements. And I don't want to mention the name of these companies, you know, but the first company I went to, it's a very big name, right, in the United States. They looked at the research that we sent them, and, you know, we talked to them on the phone a number of times. And within a couple of weeks, they concluded that creatine monohydrate was not going to be effective and didn't have any commercial value. So we were, like, stunned. So we went to the next company, which was the second biggest bodybuilding company in 1993 at this time. And same story. They turned us down. They said, this doesn't really have much commercial value. We don't think there's anything here. And that's what forced me to start marketing the product ourselves under our own label. And, you know, it was my friend Anthony Almada and myself. And, you know, we didn't even have a name of a company. So how we came up with EAS, it was Ed, Anthony, and Secretary. So that's how we started the company EAS. And I just started selling creatine ourselves with a distributor back in the Midwest, or actually back east, Bob O'Leary Supplements. And, you know, the rest is history. You know, that's how EAS started, and, you know, we did a fantastic job, and, you know, we've always tried to do science and stay within, you know, guidelines of just doing science and not get into a lot of this, you know, hyped-up stuff.
That's an incredible story. So a powerful substance with a very simple beginning.
Yeah. And the thing right now, you know, it's they're selling, I think, around 3 million kilos a year here in North America, Canada, and the U.S., and, you know, back then, we didn't realize it was going to be this big.
Well, what about the safety? That's still a bit of a controversial issue, especially among the media bashers who frequently submit reports by physicians warning people not to use it. Are you aware of any risk associated with using creatine?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I've watched this now for 5 years, and let me say something about the media. Basically, the media is ignorant. And they do things to get headlines, you know. So they have no scientific basis whatsoever. Second of all, Paul Greenhoff, who's a PhD at the University of Nottingham, who's worked extensively with creatine in humans and athletes, he absolutely says this is a remarkably safe compound, especially for the effects that people get. The only thing that I tell people is if you have kidney disease or disorder, don't take creatine. But that's it. You know, I mean, it is a remarkably safe compound. And we should be very lucky that, you know, we tripped across this, because something media and a lot of people do, they never acknowledge us for. But back in 1992, the statistic from the DEA, or it may have been an FBI statistic, the underground steroid market at that time was doing approximately $400 million a year in sales, with no advertising, no marketing, no organized sales force. And when we came out with creatine, you know, I am completely convinced that we substantially cut that market in half. Because I think we've deterred a lot of young guys just getting out of high school, going into college, from using steroids. Because creatine, it really is a pretty potent alternative. So, I mean, that's, you know, you could, I think that's a big plus.
Absolutely.
People never acknowledge us for it, which I don't care. I mean,
no, but it's important that you bring that out.
I got enough to my back to last me a lifetime. But but that's an interesting thing. You know, we've deterred a lot of kids from using steroids. Like, why use it? Just take creatine.
Right, and this is something that makes a lot of sense. I know I was reading a study on the education as a significant way to offset steroid use. If you provide kids with an alternative, set them up on supplements, teach them how to train correctly, there's always that one or two in the group that are going to take steroids no matter what you say.
Yeah, that's right.
But
you're
most
right.
Of them are going to take the advice. If you tell them the goods straight, tell them that steroids do work, that they do build muscle, but then also elaborate on the downside and then show them an alternative like using creatine and some of these products that you're working on.
You know, you're absolutely right. I really think that's the way to handle it with these kids. You tell them, hey, look, this stuff works.
Yeah, because they're not stupid.
You know,
they know what's going on.
Some problems here. Nobody gets away from the side effects. Nobody.
That's right. The more you take and the worse it gets, right?
That's right.
There's an addiction syndrome, a whole mental thing, too.
And I tell this to people in my office because, you know, guys always ask me, like, what do you think about steroids? I tell people, if steroids did not have any downsides, let's say, for example, I would probably take oxandrin every single day the rest of my life, which I'm sure you know what oxandrin is. It's a pretty mild, highly anabolic, very low androgenic, right?
Right.
But I won't do it because, you know, your LDL levels go up. You start oxidizing, you know, these cholesterol particles. You may start setting yourself up for heart disease, and it's hard on your liver. You can't get away with the side effects. So I don't even mess with the stuff. I just keep away from it, and I keep trying to develop technology which, you know, has effects like creatine, which is safe.
Which actually, in some studies, was shown to reduce some of the negative effects of cholesterol chemistry. Wasn't there an improvement?
Yeah, that's true. We did a study, and, you know, we found out that the creatine reduced cholesterol levels in men. You know, that was a nice little, you know, side benefit there we came up with back in 1995.
As opposed to the elevation of cholesterol
that's
by
right,
using some
yeah.
of the steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So the opposite effect.
That's right, yeah. And a lot of the companies now today, especially here in America, you know, these guys are, they absolutely amaze me because they're all fighting over creatine now. Every single company has their special formula of creatine, and it's better than theirs, and it's just amazing to watch these guys fight over this stuff. And now they're all getting into the pro-hormones, which, again, I disagree with the pro-hormones. I think you're going to run into the same problems, not quite as drastic, but I don't think that's the way to go. And I'm just saying this, you know, straight from my heart. It's not a strategic thing to say. My company is not going to get involved with pro-hormones. I just think it's an unsophisticated way to go. I think it's a loophole in the laws here in the U.S. But I know now today that the FDA is definitely starting to watch these very closely. Just like they're going to take ephedrine off the market here in the U.S. probably within the next 6 months.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It completely?
Yes. They just shut down a company called Metabolife, which was the biggest caffeine ephedrine product here in the U.S. The FDA just closed them down about 2 weeks ago.
What about, the pharmaceutical range of products for treatment of colds in the using
ephedrine? Well, I don't have a problem with those because those are OTCs.
Okay.
So they're in a different category. But as a dietary supplement, I don't think they're going to allow the ephedrine alkaloids. And there's already some of the big companies here in the U.S. are already coming up with the ephedra-free, which I don't think is very efficacious, you know, but I can't really give you a good feedback.
No, I agree.
I haven't really investigated that.
It seems like nothing can really compete with the ephedrine.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And what's unfortunate, you know, some of these guys, a couple of these companies have done extraordinarily well in sales at GNC, right? And if I were them, and this will be the first time I've ever said this openly, publicly, I mean, several years ago, I would have started filing an IND, introductory new drug application, with the FDA for a caffeine ephedrine mixture and bring it right through the drug development process. And, you know, it's a gamble because you don't know if you're going to get approved. But if you were to be approved within 5 to 6 years, you'd be the only pharmaceutical with a prescription, you know, access for weight loss. Because caffeine ephedrine is actually efficacious. It does work, and it's fairly safe.
Yes.
You know, I wouldn't use it long term. And matter of fact, I don't even use those products because they make me feel uncomfortable. But what they have now currently available for prescription drugs for weight loss is not very attractive. They're really not that effective.
No, and there's some significant health risks, isn't there?
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, they took fenfluramine off the market because of the problems with the combination of phentermine and fenfluramine. But phentermine, which is basically methamphetamine, is still on the U.S. market as a prescription drug. And they only recommend that you take it for 2 weeks, and that's it. It's just a jumpstart, a weight loss program. But, you know, I shake my head because when I walk in the GNC and, you know, those caffeine ephedrine guys, the product is flying off the market, I it's too bad they didn't file for, IND because they may have had a very, effective product, which would have been controlled by physicians, which should be, and that could have been a very profitable thing for him, maybe $500 million a year. They've estimated that 10 to 12 million Americans use caffeine ephedrine products, which is, that's a lot of people.
Yes.
That's almost as big as diabetes. That's big.
Ed, let's move on to another area of biochemistry, and that's the role and effect of nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
What is nitric oxide, and how does it relate to sport nutrition?
Well, nitric oxide is a gaseous molecule that is produced predominantly in skeletal muscle tissue, and it's a cell signaling molecule. In other words, it instructs the cells to do certain things. It has a half-life or time in tissue approximately anywhere from 3 to 10 seconds. So it's a very short-lived molecule, and it's also incredibly responsible for the vasodilation of your blood arteries to increase blood flow. And again, going back to millions of years ago, this mechanism was probably evolved in us to, for example, let's say a caveman went out hunting for his dinner that night, and he runs into a saber-toothed tiger. So, you know, he gets adrenaline response instantly. He starts running as fast as he can back to the cave. And to improve muscle performance or muscle work, the body has evolved this endothelium system called nitric oxide to actually vasodilate the cardiovascular system to allow blood flow to be increased to working muscle to increase nutrient delivery or fuel and also oxygen for the working muscles. Now, this system has been in us for millions of years, right? And back in 1996, right after I sold EAS, I was interested in increasing blood flow to resting muscles and also working muscle to increase the transport of creatine to increase creatine uptake. Now, back in 96, I did not realize that nitric oxide may, in fact, play a role in signaling a thing called creatine transporters. Now, these are the little transporters on each cell in your muscle that actually pulls creatine out of the plasma into the cell. And it also is involved with amino acid transporters, which pull amino acids out of the blood plasma into the cell. And the same thing with glucose. You have individual glucose transporters. I now today believe, it's been about 6 years we've been looking at this now, that nitric oxide, when you increase the levels in an athlete, you not only increase blood flow, oxygen, and amino acids, creatine, and glucose, but we think today that the nitric oxide increase starts to signal to the individual cells to increase protein synthesis. And if this is true, and if this turns out to be true, this is going to be a major breakthrough in sports nutrition, because this is really a major factor in muscle growth and muscle adaption. And, I invented this product that is now commercial here in the U.S. and also up in Canada called NO2. I actually developed the product in, I believe it was October of 97. And, we looked at this product for a number of years. And I will tell you the truth. Remember, I'm talking to you now, and you're up in Canada, so I'm a little bit more liberal what I'll say. I was skeptical about this product. And again, back in 1997, I did not realize that nitric oxide had such profound effects on muscle function. But today, I'm absolutely convinced this is a whole new category in muscle building. I'm also convinced 100% that this product really does work in about 90% of the users. The people that did not respond and that I have called personally at home somewhere in the U.S. here, they were either underdosing or they were taking food like about 15 minutes after they dosed. And that's one of the things that we found out about this product is you need to dose on like first thing in the morning and do not eat or drink a protein drink for at least 30 minutes, because this single active molecule known as arginine alpha-ketoglutarate, it needs to not compete with other amino acids in plasma to get into the tissues to start turning over nitric oxide. And we've got it down to where people only need to dose twice a day, which is 6 or 7 in the morning, and then dose again before lunch. And, I mean, I will tell you straight out, I mean, I'm very impressed with what's happened. I mean, this product really is really affecting people's physiology, I mean, dramatically. And, you know, I mean, I am surprised. I didn't realize it was going to be this effective, honestly.
Well, I've got a bottle of NO2, and there's a statement on the front of the label talks about a perpetual pump, the acceleration of fast twitch muscle strength, and the amplification of muscle growth signals. But this perpetual pump, that's obviously going to be attractive to a bodybuilder. What do you mean by this perpetual pump?
Well, okay, this is a little bit of a story here, but back in, 1989, you know, myself and Anthony, we dug up vanadyl sulfate as a potential insulin-mimicking compound. And probably the biggest mistake of my career, I actually gave it to Mike Walls at Sports Pharma, right? So that guy made millions of dollars off of vanadyl sulfate. We're actually the vanadyl guys, but, you know, very few people know that. But we found out back in the early 90s that when you take vanadyl, you get kind of this pump, right? But what it was affecting or acting like insulin and maybe increasing glucose transport or something. You know, it was not real significant. But what we found out with NO2 is that when you take this product, and by the way, this product works usually within 4 to 5 days. It works that fast. It literally vasodilates, which increases blood flow into the muscles. So your muscles become pumped with blood even while you're at a resting state. And then when you go to the gym to train, the pump you get is extraordinary. It's phenomenal. And let me tell your listeners this, is when you take steroids, let's say a 200-pound guy, and he's been on a pretty potent cycle of steroids, usually within about 3 weeks, that person will produce an extra liter of blood, because steroids actually tell your bone marrow to increase red blood cell production. Okay? So a guy on steroids is walking around, and they call that the steroid pump because he's got this extra liter of blood, so his muscles are pumped up, and then when that guy works out, he gets this huge pump. Well, we've been able to achieve the same thing by influencing nitric oxide levels. So they walk around all day long, pumped up, and then, like I said, when they go to the gym, the pump they get is extraordinary, and it lasts for hours after they leave the gym, probably anywhere from 3 to 5 hours, you know. So this is what a lot of guys like, and that's just one aspect of this product. Like, I mean, it has many other effects. And let me describe what else this product does, which, believe me, it has completely stunned me. And in my 22 years, I've never seen a product do this before. We found out probably within about a year ago that when you increase nitric oxide levels in tissues, nitric oxide actually is an extraordinarily potent anti-inflammatory compound. And at UCLA, Dr. Tidball and his colleagues, they took animals with muscular dystrophy, and they increased their nitric oxide generation through genetic engineering. And when they elevated the nitric oxide levels in the muscle through gene expression, the animals not only stopped muscle wasting, but they gained their muscle back. And muscular dystrophy is an extraordinarily potent inflammatory process. So we thought, well, that's incredible, because when guys work out, they, you know, if they work out intense, they're going to get some inflammation. So anecdotally now, we get feedback from bodybuilders that they recuperate remarkably fast, and they wake up the next day and they're not sore at all. So that's one piece of the puzzle. We thought, well, that's very good. Then, again, this is anecdotal, but we had people starting to call us, and they told us that they drank a tremendous amount of alcohol, you know, the weekend before, and they woke up the next morning and had absolutely no hangover. And that's when we looked at this and we just said, that's incredible. If this is true, that by elevating nitric oxide levels, you interfere with pro-inflammatory compounds like cytokines and so forth, and you knock out inflammation. And this probably is knocking out the increased alcohol levels, which causes pro-inflammatory compounds, which really is what causes hangovers. It's inflammation of the brain. So when we heard this and we put the two together, that was, to us, that was just remarkable that this product is that effective at knocking out inflammation. The second thing that we found out, again, and this is anecdotal, but we're starting to hear this on a regular basis now, is people that are involved with club sports, swinging a baseball bat, tennis racket or a golf club. After being on NO2, they swear that they just crush the ball when they swing whatever racket or, you know, baseball bat or club they're swinging, golf club. And there was a study that was published about a year and a half ago, and I have this, and they took the animals and they exposed them to nitric oxide levels. And what happened was is that their slow twitch muscle fibers recharacterized themselves and started to act more like fast twitch, which would explain why when people swing a club, their muscle fibers contract instantly, and that's what accelerates club speed. And again, I've never seen a dietary supplement ever do this in my life. And then I think the third benefit, which may, you know, a lot of people may be aware of this, but the drug that's owned by Pfizer Pharmaceutical here in the U.S., known as Viagra, its mode of action is to increase nitric oxide synthase activity, which increases nitric oxide levels in the penis, which increases blood flow, which increases erections and penile rigidity. And we've had phenomenal feedback from a lot of the people using the NO2 that they definitely have experienced increased penile rigidity while on this product. And again, that's not a surprise to us, but you know, it's good to always get the feedback from people. So this product has a number of effects, you know, above and beyond just bodybuilding. And then one other thing I want to mention, which you know, we have not figured out yet. You know, we've been thinking about this now for probably 2 years, but it's not clear to us how this is happening. But while on NO2, we're convinced today that this product seems to definitely increase workout capacity and or endurance. And we don't know if it's increasing mitochondrial respiration or if it's increasing blood flow to the working muscles and heart and oxygen delivery. We're not quite sure today. But we know that it's had a huge impact on some of the endurance athletes that have actually used the product. And how they got the product is they have either been personal friends or they have known of me through other people that know me at the company. And because we have never really tried to, you know, market this product to endurance athletes at all. But it's very interesting. I mean, this nitric oxide has a huge effect on muscle physiology. And let me just say one more thing here, too. You know, I've been criticized by a couple of companies, which I feel is very unfortunate because, you know, if a guy spends years and a lot of money to do something, they should at least give me the benefit of the doubt and be open-minded and look at it, right? With, you know, and you know, just look at it and say, okay, what do you got? But instead, you know, of course, I get criticized and everybody says this is no big deal. But what people have done, and they've misidentified what I've done here. They think that I'm just selling a dietary supplement of arginine alpha-ketoglutarate, when in fact I've used this particular arginine for a confidential reason, which I'm not going to exploit on this tape here. But the magic to this product is the drug delivery system that we spent 5 years and a tremendous amount of money developing, known as Pfizer 3. And without Pfizer 3, the arginine AKG by itself just doesn't work. And that's what we have found out with oral dosing with this product. So that's why I think a lot of my competitors have underestimated this product. But when you do what we've done, and it circulates through the tissues for about 3 to 5 days, and then it slowly starts to turn over nitric oxide, and then you get all these effects. So, you know, I'm very fortunate, and, you know, I've only come out with 3 major breakthroughs in my career, really, in the last decade or 12 years, which is Vanadil, which, you know, that was potato chips, and back then I really wasn't, you know, as knowledgeable as I am today, and then creatine, and now NO2. I mean, I don't want to forget glucotides, but, you know, that would be 4 breakthroughs in 12 years.
That's a remarkable
accomplishment. I mean, to me, I have to tell you, the guys that my board of directors and my guys that are involved with venture capital, they're stunned that I've done this in 12 years. So I guess I've been lucky or something. I don't know what it is, but I'm just grateful that I'm able to bring technology out to people that actually works.
So are we, Ed? We're out of time, and it's been just incredible as an experience. The quality of the information is absolutely outstanding. Now, for our listeners, we can direct you to www.getno2.com. That's getno2.com. Do you have any final parting words for our listeners?
You know, you can call my office. I'm virtually there all the time. Not all the time, but, you know, almost every day. I mean, you can talk directly to me. You know, I'm not like most of these guys. I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, you can never get them on the phone. So I have no problem talking to my customers, or if you have any particular questions, or, you know, if you're a professional. And oh, and also, let me just mention one more quick thing is I just found out last team that an entire NFL football team is on NO2. They just called me about a week ago to let me know they got the whole team on the product. And again, we didn't give them the product and we didn't solicit it. It just, so that's amazing.
So what's the number that they can call?
They can call 888-448-4246.
Great. Okay, thanks very much. Ed, we'd love to have you back on Spores Nutrition Update. We'll give you a shout when we're ready.
Okay.
And we can always make time to have you provide such excellent information. And again, thanks very much, Ed Bird, for being our special guest on Sports Nutrition Update.
Okay, bye-bye.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is a division of Holly Health Services located in Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. For information regarding subscription to SNU and Corey's Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, please visit our website at www.coreyhawley.com. This is Lisa Hawley, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.